The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We have a great episode of Unfiltered today with myself and Matt and Sensei Nardu from Budokan Martial Arts. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
He's sitting right here with his fist in my face. I better not fuck this up. And, of course, Randy Brown, thank you so much for coming in, and I hope you have fun.
Thank you, man. I will.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again! He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
UFC cracked the whip. No other companies in that intro. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm here with Matt, and of course we have Randy Brown in studio. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being here. And hello, sir, how are you? Is that his mic on?
Yeah, he's just very quiet. The gentleman with Randy Brown is his jiu-jitsu trainer, slash sensei, slash coach, I don't know what you want to call it, but Nardu Debra, who is, well, first of all, let me tell you something about Nardu Debra. Let me fuck it. I got to get better at learning the
hell. That was okay.
I fucked up.
Yeah, you didn't.
But anyway, listen, I know Nardu for fucking, I'm going to say close to 20 years.
Yes, sir.
What Nardu, let me explain the whole 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, or however that thing is.
6 degrees of...
Is that what it is?
Six degrees
of Kevin Bacon?
Yes.
I added another degree?
That's okay.
It's because I'm hot.
Yeah.
I'm freaking... Is it hot in here?
No.
Or am I just a fat guy?
It's a little warm. If I'm warm, you're probably warm. It's a little warm. Right.
If you're warm, I'm fucking baking.
Steaming.
So Nardu... Let me explain how I know Nardu. Nardu came in... I was teaching jiu-jitsu before I got my first storefront. You're going to have to help me with the dates, Nardu, but it was, I'm going to say like 1999?
Yeah.
99. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I correct or what?
99, 98, right?
98, yeah. Yeah. So I was renting out a couple of places because I didn't have a storefront. I was still in Manhattan all the time training with Henzo. But my buddy, Rodrigo Gracie, he was my roommate, and we had a place in the Five Towns. We had an apartment. So we had two places. We had a place in Babylon, out in Long Island, and also we rented out of a Kempo school in Valley Stream, a studio 3 days a week. There's a karate school. We'd have mats that we'd put down at like whatever after they were done doing their karate, and we started getting some students over at that school. And at that school is when I met Nardu himself and former UFC fighter and tough finalist Philippe Nova. Those guys wandered into the academy. And then eventually, me and Rodrigo got separate academies.
Well, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Were you training at that time or no?
Yes, I was training
you
at
are.
That time. Yes.
No, do interject.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. We were training, and I was training with Sifu Ralph Mitchell at that time, you know, learning JKD and all the different components of martial arts. And one of the components that was missing, you know, in my game was the ground. You know, I really wanted to learn the ground grappling, especially after I saw Hoist Gracie at the UFC. And we were looking for jiu-jitsu schools, you know. And one of my seniors at that time, Lou Levine, was training with Henzo Gracie in the city. And he and Professor Gene Dunn used to train together all the time. And they were like, you know, well, right in Valley Stream is Matt Serra. You know, Matt Serra and Rodrigo Gracie, you got to go out there. So I took a drive out there. I went on the mat. Matt Serra, I remember the exact technique he taught. It was a Kimura from cross-eyed. And I never forget that. And till this day, I still work it. It was from then till now, it's been an amazing journey.
And Nardu fought before. He had what was your record, Nardu?
Well, my record, I think it was about, I don't know exactly off the head, but I fought amateur. I fought amateur Sancho, then I fought kickboxing, and then before that, I did... a continuous contact, then I did stick fighting, then I did weapon fighting, then I did
MMA. Wow. You could tell that, yeah, I've cornered him before in many fights in mixed martial arts, and he's very zen-like.
Not only was I getting that immediately, because those are always the worst guys to fight. It's these, you quiet dudes are the fucking worst, because you're horrifying. But it's that you are, and you are also the same way. It seems like you kind of, do you pick up kind of the energy of the person who is teaching you?
Most definitely, you know. It's kind of just a vibe, just the energy that he gives off, you know. I feel like when he walks in the room, you kind of just... You can't help but kind of just be mellow. You know what
I mean? Doesn't need to oversell his
ability. Yeah, it's just, it is what it is.
You know?
And how did you meet Nardu?
Well, I met him through a good friend at Henzo, J-Mac.
Okay. You know?
He's always telling me, I was looking for a place to get a team going and get some guys who just wanted to do MMA.
How long ago was this?
This was what? Maybe what? 2010 maybe?
Okay.
You know? And this guy, he kept telling me, he's like, man, this guy, he has great jiu-jitsu, man. You got to go see this dude. You got to go see him. He has some of the slickest jiu-jitsu I've ever seen. And I was like, really? I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to check him out. You know, and he was actually down the street from where I lived.
Yeah.
You know? So I ended up meeting him one day. He was always telling me about him. You know, I was at a jiu-jitsu tournament working the, you know, you work the jiu-jitsu tournaments, like the scoring tables or whatever.
Yeah.
I was doing that. And he had a girl competing. And he introduced me to him. And then he was like, hey, come down to my school. So it was like maybe a mile or so from my house. I ran there, and the rest is history.
It's close to your house.
Yeah.
Now, are you this kind of, are you a quiet guy by nature? Like, are you kind of an understated, quiet guy by nature? Or did martial arts kind of take you from being a certain way and make you that way?
I was a bit of a knucklehead, you know, but, you know, being around Sensei, he kind of... He molded me, and you know, a couple beatings, you know.
Yeah.
Took a few humbling.
How was he when he came in, Nardu? Be honest, come on.
Well, you know, everybody, when they come in, they think they're at one place, and then they get hit with that reality.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the thing that I saw with Randy is that he had the heart, you know, he had the heart. Yeah. And everybody, I have a saying, is that everybody wants to fight, but nobody wants to fight. Like, nobody wants to really put in that work. Once they start putting in that work, then they realize, oh, this is a lot difficult than I thought it was, you know. But he never quit, man. And like you said, you know, he ran to the dojo. He jogged to the dojo. To me, that was a statement. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How'd you get here? He's like, I jogged all the way to the dojo. All right, let's go. You know, and he wanted to fight. At that time, or most of my students at that time, we were more like jiu-jitsu based. Nobody really wanted to take that step into MMA yet. And, you know, a lot of people come in and say, they all want to fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, he really took that step. And I compare it to the anatomy of molding a sword, where it's just a whole bunch of clay and steel at first, and it gets molded and pounded and molded and pounded and molded and pounded and folded and pounded, and I keep pounding and pounding and pounding. and then now, you know, he's starting to sharpen, and he's definitely cutting some people.
When you say people are usually not where they think they are, do you mean the guys usually come in and think they know more than they know? Or they're more skilled than they are in general?
Well, a lot of times people walk into a jiu-jitsu school and they're like, I want to do MMA or I want to fight. And they don't realize that the MMA has a lot of components. A lot of components. You got to know how to work in the clinch. You got to know how to work on the ground. You got to know how to work on the feet. They don't realize it's so much involved, you know? So, but what I mean is that, like, most people come in and they just see the UFC. They don't realize all that work that takes to get there. You know, Randy's been a 3-time champion as an amateur. You know, he came up the right way. You know, I took him the right way. And I didn't jump him.
Sure.
You know, he did Muay Thai fights,
boxing.
He did he's a 3-time champion as an amateur. Then he moved into the pro circuit, came in right through the front door, and now in the UFC with 5 fights in.
Now, Nardu, do you make him, or did you ever make him wear a gi? Absolutely. I know he's right there. It's weird. I can't say his name. But he's like, you know, I can hear you. I'm just saying.
When it's like, you know, talking about somebody's grandfather when they're too old to understand anymore. Would he shit his pants again?
I'm right next to you. Yeah. Now, absolutely. I know when there's a fight coming up and everything, you don't have, you know, 2 months before or whatever. Randy, did you ever wear a gi ever? Tell me. Absolutely. Let's break it out here on Unfiltered. Yes?
Absolutely. Yeah, I wear a gi a lot, actually.
Absolutely. And the thing I love about Randy is that... a lot in general is that a lot of people underrate his ground game, and I think that's great. You know?
Well, I've seen that at my school.
Yeah.
And just for the record, I'm not going over any because I had Mickey in here last week, like you heard, and you probably heard him. Like, hey, Matt, well, I don't know if I should even like you anymore. Randy, now look, Randy's at my school because of, it's like, you know, me and you go back 20 years. Hey, man, could he? And there's certain nights where, you know, like a Tuesday night, that's, you know, that's a wrecking crew down there. So it's just great training. So when Nardu said, hey, man, I don't know how he, that's how he ended up down there, right, Randy?
Yeah.
That I told you, you know, no problem. But I'm not going over any, you're his instructor. I'm not going over any tape with you, Randy, saying, listen, this is how you're going to get that little fucker Mickey Gall, right? I mean, I'm pretty much Switzerland in this thing.
I mean, I don't know. Last week you were saying that.
Why? Randy, wait, hold on. Fucking Randy. Yeah, Randy. Kick you right out of here. I'm only kidding. All right, enough of the
book. Yeah, you and Mickey seem very opposite the way you promote fights.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one for all the talking all crazy and all that. Like, I mean, I'm going to talk, I'm going to tell you how I feel, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to be that guy. You know, rah-rah, I'm going to do this, and I did this. And
now,
you know.
But you wanted this fight, correct?
Mickey was playing. I made this fight happen, so he can act like, oh, I bodied him up in training, Candy Brown, all that talk. He's a weirdo, man. I'm like, listen, I asked for this. I want this. I know why I want this.
What the fuck's a Candy Brown?
I don't know.
Just making fun of his name.
Randy Brown Candy. I guess it rhymes. Yeah, exactly. You know, so.
What's up? Am I fucking got something mentally wrong with me? The fuck? How did I not pick that up? But Jimmy, hey, Jimmy,
you know,
sometimes I look at Jimmy and I don't know. I think Jimmy's just like, what the fuck?
No, it's okay.
Jimmy, do I annoy you?
Not at all.
Am I just the fuck? Because you work with professionals all the time.
You are a professional.
And then you got me. I couldn't put together Randy Brown, Candy Brown. What? I think he's making fun of his brown belt. What belt are you?
Brown.
Well, there you go. It could have been that.
That's my first thought as well.
Randy Brown, Candy Brown. Hey, Christopher, do we have any paper towels in here? Nardu's sweating.
Yeah.
How about Nardu looks the same he did from 20 years ago? And I look like I fucking ate myself.
It is warm in here, though. I'll say,
Matt, is it maybe fucking warm in here?
Maybe we can turn the air on because we have five men.
Man, but all you guys, listen.
It was just freezing, man.
All you guys together, your body fat doesn't equal up to mine.
I want to ask
you. In shape.
Now, you were, you know, your mom moved to Jamaica when you were a kid, right? Where were you from originally?
I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts. I was there for about 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So you were raised in Jamaica.
Yeah, I'm completely Jamaican.
And what kind of an area you were raised in? Was it quiet? Was there a lot of fighting?
It was a little rowdy, you know. It was like Spanish Town, Jamaica. It's a lot going on, you know.
I've never heard of Spanish Town. Is it like Kingston at all or no?
Yeah, it's like Kingston, but it's further down.
Okay, so there's Jamaica's known to be a tough area, so a lot of guys can fight who are from Jamaica because you just had to fight.
That's where Uriah Hall lived for a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah, actually, Uriah Hall actually lived in a lane, the lane that I grew up in, right, on Marchville Road. He literally right the street right over.
What the fuck's in the water? And that couple of lanes, man. Well, a lot of killers getting out of there.
But Uriah was very, very poor growing up. He used to make his own toys. Did you grow up in that kind of a situation?
Yeah, you know, but as being from the islands, man, it's kind of like this. It's like you are poor, you know, but it's you're not dwelling on it. You don't know that you're poor because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like we had to like walk to go get water and all that stuff, but it's not like, man, we don't know better. It's like, we're just going to get water. You know what I mean? When I come to America, then it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that was right.
There was a lot going on.
Water right here. Yeah.
That's so wild. Where in America did you move when you finally came, and how old are you?
I moved to, when I was 16, I moved to Rosedale, Queens.
Okay. Yeah. So what kind of got you out of, like, I guess, were you ever like tempted to kind of go the wrong way? A lot of times guys grow up and they see guys making money a certain way, and it's a hard temptation.
I mean, naturally, but, you know, As again, like I have martial arts, you know, I'm glad I met Sensei. You know, he definitely steered me in the right direction, you know, but I'm a kid of common sense, man. And a lot of, I've been through so much in Jamaica, like I did that already. You know what I'm saying? Like I seen a lot of, and then the stuff that people are doing here, that's considered like, you know, like the tough guy or like gangster, you know, it's kind of like. It's not really tough, you know what I'm saying?
So you saw guys like, doing it for in a much more probably brutal fashion there.
Yeah, so it's like I never really got, and I knew what was right and what was wrong. You know what I mean? I don't have to get into that. I know what's right and what's wrong. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Know?
What led you to martial arts?
The love, man. I love to fight. You know, I boxed for a while, and I just really loved it, man. And then I ended up, and then once I moved over to MMA, I was like, what? We could continue fight. I could take people down. I could throw people. You know, I could hit people with elbows, kick people in the face. Shoot, sign me up.
It's amazing what gets people in a cry. I interviewed this morning on my other radio show, Burt Ward, who played Robin in the original Batman and Robin. And he used to spar with Bruce Lee in real life. They knew each other. Like Bruce Lee's first fight on TV was a Batman and Robin episode.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then he became a huge star after that. And he said he would spar. It's amazing that people get into...
You know what I wish, though?
What's that?
Because right now, Bruce Lee's fucking turning over in his grave, being like, yeah, bullshit! He's probably like, all right, yeah, Robin. Yeah, Boy Wonder. We really sparred. Guy probably fucking played with him like a...
He may have, yeah.
Oh, may have.
But...
Relax, Bert.
He was a black belt.
Relax. No, I wish Bruce was around to say... Bruce was like, what the fuck? How many people is that reaching?
Well, he didn't...
He doesn't want that known. It's
He didn't imply that he was doing better than Bruce Lee. He just implied that they would actually... they would work out together.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big... listen, me and you work out together.
He said spar.
I'm not... Well, then he's... Well, yeah. In other words, Bruce Lee played with him.
He might have, yeah. He probably did.
Listen to me. I'd bet my fucking life on it. Bruce Lee...
I have faith in the Boy Wonder. Watch. Like, let's see Bruce Lee climb a building that easily.
How about this? In his prime... You put fucking, what's his name, Bert, what, Ward?
Robin.
You put don't do that. Because Robin's actually a character with some, but we're talking about the real person. Bert Ward. Robin didn't spar fucking Bruce Lee.
No,
that would be a good fight.
There's a great picture Bert of them
Ward
fighting.
Did.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, but Bert Ward, you put him in a fucking octagon in his prime.
Well, he's fat
versus
now.
Fucking Chris the Producer? My money's on Chris the Producer, and he didn't supposedly spar Bruce Lee.
No, I would take Bert Ward over Chris the Producer, even though right now he's very, very heavy.
You take Bert Ward over me?
I would, yeah.
In his prime.
Still a black belt.
Well, he kicked Bruce Lee's ass.
Belt.
Yeah. Well, he fought him.
So a 7-year-old's out there.
I don't know how good he was. He said he stopped training.
I think he should have got right off that story and said that...
put a few pounds on.
Did he? That's not. Don't judge a guy on that.
I'm not. I like him.
All right. Let's get back to our guest.
Yeah.
I miss this guy. He doesn't say too much, but he's like a...
He's pointing at Chris.
He's like a fucking samurai. Even his outfit. What are you wearing, Nardu? Where'd you get that jacket?
This is a Hanten. It's from Japan when I was in Japan.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a straight up black samurai. Like, I used to call him Ghost Dog. There was a movie with Forrest Whitaker. But Forrest Whitaker is a fucking fat guy. I wish that movie would have been so much better. You ever see the movie Ghost Dog?
Of course.
You're like, I am Ghost Dog, motherfucker. You're the real Ghost Dog, because that would have been a decent movie, but why couldn't the guy? The guy's a great actor. You can't get on a fucking treadmill, Ghost Dog. Forrest, really? You're a great actor. Loved you in Platoon.
Absolutely. You're playing also a the samurai. Crying game.
I loved him in what?
Isn't that?
You guys ever see a cry? That's before that time.
I actually saw Forrest Whitaker like a week ago. Over
Sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where
just
was
walking
he?
Down the street.
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, just walking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. Well, he's a great actor.
He certainly is. Last King of Scotland.
Fucking, yeah, no. Well, now you're naming the fucking. I'm talking about Ghost Dog. Him as a samurai.
I don't know that one.
And then he'd always get some. He'd always go to the ice cream truck. That I don't know. The movie. I don't think the movie was that great.
Okay,
but where the fuck do we get into this?
Why did you choose Mickey? By the way, I wanted to ask you why of all the people did you choose him? Was it because there was something you saw in his sparring or training that you're like, I think I have this?
No, here's the deal, right? A lot of people ask me that actually, and the thing is, there's Sage Northcutt, right? He was discovered on the show.
True.
You know what I mean? And he blew up. He got all the attention and he fought all these people, And, things are going good. I got discovered the same way. No.
What show are you talking about?
Looking for a Fight.
Oh, Dana White, Looking for a Fight.
I'm on that.
Yeah, I happen to be on that show.
The show, Jimmy. where he says that he's the champ of the show and all that. He's a fun guy, so he got his thing going. But he's on the show. He calls out what's his name? What's the dude named the wrestler? The actor. Calls out an actor. And then he fights the actor, which he put on a terrible show, by the way. Because had I fought that actor, I would have been toying with him, and it would have been a great show because I would have kept it on the feet. He was scared, so he dived in. Dived in, took him down because he didn't want to get punched by a 40-year-old man.
Well, CM Punk did come in fucking guns blazing.
He ran out.
I would have slipped and ripped his ass.
Yeah.
I would have slipped and ripped him. It would have made it look pretty, but he took him down, and he spared him.
He did spare him. Yeah. I think he was a little gentle in that one. Yeah. So do you guys, sorry, Matt, do you guys have this thing from the show? Because you have to call somebody out when you fight just to make some interest. Or it helps, lately it seems like it helps. The more vocal somebody is, the more likely they are to get the fight. And so the guys from the Ultimate, Dana White's Looking for a Fight, you guys kind of have this class of people before you get a lot of ranked fighters that you can call out. I think it's great because there's this rivalry that you're hearing about that you might not have heard about from guys that weren't in the top 15.
True. But the thing is, I feel like some guys get more, you know, notoriety than others. You know what I mean? And me, I'm the only guy from the Looking for a Fight show that fought real competition. That's just my opinion. You know what I mean? I feel like, who has Mickey fought? Who has Sage fought? You know what I mean? Yeah. The guy that beat Sage, I tried to get that fight. I didn't get it. You know what I mean? I want to fight these guys. You know what I mean?
Now, when you get that mic in front of you, after after your fight, you're getting interviewed by Joe Rogan, whoever's interviewing you. You know, I feel you should take advantage of that time.
Absolutely.
And state your, because that's a small little opportunity that's huge. It could be huge for you. Mm-hmm. If you just say, I'll fight whoever, of course you'll fight whoever. You're a fucking warrior. But Mickey's been very smart and strategic on who he's picking out. Mm-hmm. And now listen, does that, at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, guys having a fucking fight. So that's not what it comes down to. But when you know, I'm not saying be the next Conor McGregor. You don't have to have that gift for gab of Conor McGregor. But if you have a name and say, yo, you give me this guy, and then you state your case, people get excited about it.
And that's what I did with Mickey.
That is what you did with Mickey.
I saw you personally at a show, you and Dana, and I came up to you guys, and I was like, listen, man. Mickey Gall versus Randy Brown.
Didn't I say that would be a good fight?
Yeah, you said that would be awesome.
That would be. I still think it's going to be awesome. Because you know what it is? I think both you guys are studs. You, and I'm not giving nothing away, but obviously, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, have a very underrated, I don't know if you have an underrated ground game, but it's, you know, I don't think people have seen what you can do on the floor.
Because I'm a striker.
Yeah.
I'm a striker.
So. And the same could be said.
That's quotation. The striker.
Yeah, well, I mean, you didn't have to be in those positions yet, but Mickey, it could be said the same for him with his stand up. Now, what, you know what I mean? Even though he's punched some guys in the face, but
reporters, you know, yeah. 40-year-old men, 13-year-old pretty boys.
You know. It's fucking, well, listen, I'm getting excited for this fight.
I am too. But, and you got
go ahead, Jimmy.
Calling somebody out like John Moraga. Magomed Bibilatov, is that how you say his last name?
Bibilatov
is. I mean, he's this hot prospect. I think he was undefeated at that point, and Moraga destroys him in the first round. That was beautiful.
Yeah, we're gonna get to all those.
And
fights.
Then after the fight, they're interviewing him, and he I think he was too emotional.
Very emotional.
But I'm like, was it Cormier? I think. By the way, they're sending Cormier in the teams now to do, because I think eventually they know Joe is gonna leave, and they're trying to see who can. Fill that role, and I think Cormier is doing it.
He did a great job.
Yeah, phenomenal. Well, he's a fighter too. Yeah. And he told the guy, like, well, I'm explaining that to everybody in the room, that Cormier is a fighter, in case you didn't know, on the UFC Unfiltered podcast. That's breaking news. Cormier fights. But the fact that I guess he was able to say to the guy, he's like, come here just and talk a little bit, but he wouldn't call anybody. It seemed like that was a great moment for him. He was beating this young prospect. Yes, he was.
And that dude was supposedly phenomenal. I believe he was like 14-0. It is, isn't it, motherfucker, Christopher Thurser? I see him looking. Let me check the old archive. I believe he's 14-0, and Moraga was the underdog in that fight. That other guy went out there giving zero fucks. What was he?
14-0.
Oh, man, he's 14-1.
Yeah.
Moraga?
I have to remember the order, because it was a huge right, and then he missed with a kick, and then he dropped it with a left hook.
He stunned him with a right.
Yeah.
That thing. You know what it is? What was the guy he was fighting?
Bibilatov.
That exactly.
Magomed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Magomed.
He was extremely confident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To the point of not reckless, but that chin was there for that left hook. I mean, he wasn't giving him enough respect, and damn, that once that landed, it was shit. You just knew. Sometimes you're like, oh, is he still in the game? You're like, oh, no.
But was he, you think he was overconfident then, or was that because he was stunned by the right and then the kick missed? Like, he might have just been stunned at that point.
He was so aggressive off the bat. I don't think he gave it. I mean, listen, he could have, Zabit did the same thing. I think he's the same team. Mark Henry was in his corner also. But Zabit went in there the same way, and you know, it worked great for him.
Yes.
But listen, we're going to see more of that dude. Say his name again. I'm going to get it.
Magomed Bibilatov.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, what are you gonna
but anyway, Moraga did great.
What did you think of, you guys see Venata against Bobby Green?
That fight was crazy.
The first round, did that cost him the fight, though? Was that point deduction did cost him the fight?
I think so. Yeah. It was illegal knee. I didn't think he should have took the point, though.
I don't think so either, because when you looked at it on a close-up, it was an upper thigh. Does that still count as the knee? I don't know what the official rule is.
Yeah, but it was also the first time he got it. It's not like he hit him more than once in there, the nuts.
Yeah, it was the first one. I don't think he should have just took it right away. But I mean, the dude's in the zone. He's throwing, you know, going hard. So
They said he might have caught because he was getting up. He still had a knee down, and he went to knee, and he hit with the thigh in the face.
Oh, he was definitely down.
But is that illegal? But I guess because it's a leg strike. Is that considered a kick?
What's that? Yeah. Of course. He did it to the face.
He did, yeah, but it wasn't.
But it hit the meat of the leg.
The meat of the leg.
Yeah, but if you see a guy on all fours, you're not supposed to do this. So the fact that he was on all fours, and he did it almost like Bisping versus fucking Jorge Rivera. Jorge Rivera? Who the fuck? Did I get that right?
Jorge Rivera.
That's my guy. Yeah, man, that's my buddy. Fuck, I haven't talked to him in a while. That's why I second-guess myself. But, you know, it's one of those just, it looked very deliberate. But the second he did it, you saw him like, ah, fuck.
He was trying to time it, too, I think. Like, he felt as though Bobby Green was standing up.
But he knew. He knew when he landed. Yeah, there was no question. Right. But he did throw it. But, yeah, hey, listen, it was still a good fucking fight.
Oh, my God. And they pointed out that both guys seemed happy with the draw. It's like when Mark Hunt fought Bigfoot Silva. Yeah. Like, at the end of that, you're like, yeah, I'm okay with that being a draw. Like, these two guys, you don't want to see the guy lose a fight like
that's
that.
It was another it was fight of the night.
What's that?
It's because they knew it was fight of the night.
And they both were yelling fight of the night.
So they were like,
there was another draw, no? That was...
Yeah, it was the Beneil Dariush-Evan Dunham fight. It was a majority draw. Dariush won on one of the judges' scorecards, and then it was a draw.
That first round could have been a 10-8 round. But, man, you got to give it to Dunham for coming back. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun fight, too. What a great night of fight. You guys seen these fights? Huh? Yeah. Yes? Yeah,
Here's what I want to get into, because I think if you ever
the Mighty Mouse armbar, that shit was insane.
Is that what you want to talk about, Jimmy?
We could do that one. The one I was going to do is a much faster story, which was poor fucking Walt Harris. Stepping
speaking
in.
Of arm locks, first of all, what a night for jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
And it's like when people think that this, like, you know, all the guys who are thinking of mixed martial arts in the UFC from 20 years ago, and they don't see the beauty in it, they should just see that event. Because so many, the setups, the Verdum arm lock was a thing. Was just beautiful jiu-jitsu in general. Takedown to control to taking the back right to the arm lock. I mean, it was just so. What the transitions was just a thing of beauty.
Can I ask you guys as jiu-jitsu fighters? Okay, so he's taking him down with that single leg.
Yeah.
Did he kind of know like, all right, this guy's a striker. I'm absolutely going to be able to take him down. Like, would he have tried to take down a high level jiu-jitsu guy with the same move, or is that one that he probably would not? He knew he had a striker.
Well, first of all, props to Walt Harris for taking it on like 3 hours notice. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was at a wedding. So, like, you know.
Oh, that must have been fun, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope it was good.
Holy fuck. Yeah. I don't believe I was missing that thing. And yeah, I got all the spoilers, too.
Yeah, of course.
And it really ruined the shit. We're going to get into the main event, too. But that fucking. It's hard, man.
Oh, that must have sucked. The groom cuts the cake.
Yeah, I saw fucking Kevin Lee's. If I didn't know. We're going to get back to this fight in a second. But if I didn't know the outcome of the Kevin Lee Tony Ferguson fight when it was happening, would have been such a better experience for me.
I knew.
I fucking knew. Asshole I am.
Who told you?
I don't know.
What are you?
I seen it on something.
Don't look at anything.
Well, what am I doing? What am I supposed to look at? The chandelier? I'm at a wedding.
Don't look at your phone. Well, go watch it on the app. The fucking UFC app is amazing.
Tony called him. He told him.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Tuggy, Tony.
Yeah, beat him.
But, you know, that sucked. But anyway, it was a great, I mean, listen, great card all around.
Back so to that the
Verdum, when he took him down, when you seen him settle in, he took him down right until he had an underhook, and I'm just like, oh man, this is not good. With him on top, and the way he moves, he's not afraid to give a little bit of space. Because when he knows where that the escape routes are, and he's going to be there. By the time Walt Harris was on all fours, he was on his back.
Well, they said,
you know what I mean?
They said, don't make no mistake about it, Walt Harris did not push Verdum off.
Oh, exactly.
He gave him space so he could take his back as he tried to get up. And do you think, in a way, because he had a full mount, he could have just pounded him. Do you think he just wanted to just get it over? And it also seemed like he could have choked him and then went to the arm bar. Is that a decision he made because, hey, this is just the fastest way to do it, I don't want to choke this guy?
Sometimes with the gloves, it's difficult to strangle somebody. Now, you know, listen, not always. You get it underneath the chin. But, you know, a guy tries to go two-on-one with your hands and this and that. He had the Kimura grip on his arm, his wrist, and his other Walt Harris's wrist and his wrist. He brought it over the head, so it makes a frame. So, I mean, this is an arm lock that it's not an uncommon arm lock. Sure. You get this all the time in training, and that's what it looked like for him. That's something, I guarantee he's hit that 1,000 times.
Would that have been a harder thing to put on a guy like Frank Mir?
Yes. That's definitely, because Frank Mir is a high-level black belt. You know what I mean? There's certain guys that, I mean,
like Mir would have seen it coming.
Yeah, I mean, could he have gotten Mir in it? Who knows? I mean, he's fucking Verdum is Verdum, and I believe Joe Rogan was saying that he's quite possibly the best jiu-jitsu artist. I mean,
heavyweight
that we've ever seen in the UFC. I mean, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, Minotauro was a little bit past his prime when he fought him, but I mean, you've seen him like Minotauro would go to half guard on guys like Mark Coleman. I mean, there's different levels in this thing. Like, in other words, he'd go, like, back in the day in Pride, he'd put a half guard on Mark Coleman and just, like a kid. He'd just switch underneath him, turn around, next thing you know, he's on top of him. He tried that same shit on Verdum when they fought how many years later? Verdum's keeping his base fucking hammer fisting him. It was fucking brutal.
Verdum's also 40, too, right now. He's not a young guy anymore.
Yeah, I know. I saw that on the thing. But Verdum's jiu-jitsu is so good, he never really, I mean, you know, he got caught by Junior Dos Santos back in the day. He got stopped.
Stipe Miocic, yeah.
He got stopped by Stipe, but that's two times. I can't think of any. Besides that, I believe, I don't think he has any other stoppages. I might be over.
I'm looking through.
I don't think so.
No.
Nothing that comes to mind. So it's not like he took a ton of damage. You know, he's not that rock 'em and sock 'em guy. He's the type, and he's getting so much better with the stand up that he's the type of guy that he could just, he didn't even have to use it in this one. But, yeah,
he'll take
risks
too. Yeah. His stand up is actually really good.
Who, Verdum?
Yeah,
it's fun to watch.
He's some funky stuff, man. Flying, you don't see heavyweights jumping through the air like that.
Not in the first 5 seconds. He like flew across the ring and just threw a kick. It was great.
Jump knees, all that stuff.
Yeah,
his jiu-jitsu is so good. It just frees him up top that he could just let anything fly. Because what's gonna happen? Like, he slips and a guy ends up on top. If a guy ends up, all those black belts, all the heavyweights, I can't think of one of them. You could start a match with them mounted on Verdum, and they should probably jump off of Verdum. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he screws up with a strike and a guy slips up on top of him and ends up on his back on his mounted.
How about Kane?
What?
How about Kane?
How do he look on top of him? Do you remember that fight? He didn't look comfortable on top of him. Kane, Verdum is the worst matchup out of the whole heavyweight division for Kane. Reason being, Kane gasses out these other heavyweights because they're not that comfortable on their back. They want to get back up. Guess what? He gets you back down. And then he could beat you up standing, getting you back down. Verdum's height could nullify his strikes when he gets him in the plum and he gets him in the thigh clinch when he gets too close. Or else he'll just let him take him down. He doesn't give a shit because he's not getting beat up down there. If anything, Kane gets him down, he's got to be surviving on top. In the when they fought that time
in Mexico City, though, yeah.
In between rounds, they go, look, put him down because they saw he was getting tired.
But that's why I'm asking McKinnon. I'm saying, do you think that was more of a gassing out because he had not spent enough time at altitude there? Because his cardio is usually incredible.
But it is. But there's no moment where he could rest. He can get that takedown on Verdum. Verdum could fight it as much as he wants, or he could just go with it. It's not like he's going to take him down and do the, like with these other guys. Like, he settled right into Bigfoot's half guard and beat the shit out of him because he's that good. He's not doing that to Verdum. Mm-hmm. He's not settling anywhere on top of him and beating him up. I guarantee it. Unless you got a gassed Verdum and now he's not moving how he should be.
Yeah, I just
Verdum's going to be too busy down there
because his cardio is so incredible. Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? I'm sorry, Jimmy.
No, it's fine.
About that, as far as with Verdum and Verdum's just Verdum's unreal off his back.
But did you think in that fight though that part of the reason Kane was vulnerable was because of the fact that he never gasses, and you could see that.
He's a wrestler, you know what I mean. And you put a wrestler if you put a wrestler on his back, he's not you know comfortable there. So I feel like he's gonna get gassed, you know what I mean, because he's not used to being there. You know, he's not used to being pushed against the cage, you know what I mean. He's not used to being in certain bad positions. He's always on top. He's always the aggressor, always the dominant player in the game. You know, so. You know, if he's on his back, I feel like he's going to get tired easy.
Yeah. Nardu? Yes, anything to add?
Yeah, I just remembered him teeping that coach after. He's got a great teep.
That was, that's Ronda's coach. Yeah. That's Edmund.
Good placement. Oh, Verdum, you mean?
Yes, yeah. Good placement.
He threw a little kick just to keep him back. That was a little get back. A little get back kick.
Yeah, they had some words.
That was after the Travis Brown fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the, Matt, you want to talk about this. You were right about Demetrius Johnson against Ray Borg. I mean, that was.
Ah, man. Ray Borg was game. I mean, you got to give the kid that. And how old is he, Ray Borg? He's very 25. Young.
24.
Yeah, he's 25.
I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. Guys like Ray Borg, guys like Kevin Lee, 25. I got in the UFC at 26. Oh, you know
Ray Borg
I mean?
Might be 24.
Yeah, they're young. They're young dudes. So I don't think Ray Borg's stock went down at all. If anything, I mean, he's a stud. But holy shit, that arm lock was a I must have watched that thing dozens of times. Yeah. Oh, that was so beautiful. Making like you're going to give him the old souple. And as he's coming down, he underhooks the arm. I've seen flying arm locks before. Nardu, you've been around this game for forever. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. It was beautiful. As he elevated him up, he secured the underhook and he just fit right into the juju. It was perfect.
It was something. And Jimmy, I've seen shit. I've seen a lot of crazy shit. Flying jumping into umaplates. I mean, it was just so. And he said he's done this a lot in the gym in his training. And I 100% believe it.
Yeah. They say he hits it all the time. Oh, I was talking to this guy Graham Welsh on Instagram. He's a fan of the show, and he was saying that people are calling it the mouse trap. That's what we're officially calling that move.
Now, have you? This is why you got to love him, because I think wasn't that the fifth round? Was it the fourth or the fifth round?
It was the fifth round.
And like literally, he's ahead. I think there were 10-8 rounds at that point, and he still wants to go for the finish. I mean, that's why you have to love him. He was not happy just to cruise to a win. He wanted the finish.
That was. And what about Ray Borg? We're going out in the fourth round and getting a takedown. Right. Ray Borg is. It's not like he was like, look, I'm losing every round. Fuck it, I tried. Because if you want out of there, it's very easy.
But why? Why was he continuously chasing the takedown?
That was
if he initiated a grappling every single time.
Ray Borg,
and then he got out grappled every time.
That's what I don't think he was ready for, because if you see Ray Borg's other fights, he's really good in the grappling realm. You know what I mean? Like he's really good, really dangerous. He's strangled many people. He's finishing a lot of guys. So sometimes you don't know until you feel it. And I don't know if there was a plan B.
But I kept wondering that too. Like it seemed like, okay, the first couple of rounds, but by round three, when you've done nothing but get mauled on the ground,
he stopped every single takedown. Not only did he stop it, he reversed you.
Who's that?
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse. You know, he reversed him. Yeah, he got him down a couple times. But I know. Did he do anything with it?
He got him down. He just got reversed. Yeah. And he was just, at that point, it's like, all right, come on, bro. You got to stop trying to take him down. You know, you got to fight now.
Or at least feint the takedown and then go back upstairs, that type of thing. You know what I mean? It's all how you put it together. And he, the biggest thing, though, I remember leading up to it, he was saying that, like, he thought he had the advantage in the scrambles. And when he found that out, I guess he found that out the hard way. You know what I mean? But he was still putting everything into it. That suplex, the fucking arm lock, the mouse trap. I want to fucking put my head through a wall with that.
That's a great name, though.
I don't think I could call it the mouse trap.
Snip.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's cool. Snipped up in the mouse trap.
Listen. Second Christopher Lee said it, I want to throw that fucking Pepsi can at him. But it's not his fault.
No, it's not.
You don't shoot the messenger.
Ice cold Pepsi.
It is delicious.
Yeah. I mean, he could have mouse trapped you and gave you a warm one. We're going to use that around the studio a lot, I think, the mouse trap.
Can we kill the mouse trap? I fucking hate it as much. I like the mouse trap as much as I like fucking Chip Chipperson.
Come on.
These guys don't know who Chip is.
Yes, they do. He's legendary.
You guys know who Chip Chipperson is?
Of course.
This fucking Nard dude would never lie. Randy?
All right, they just
How's
don't know.
How's your audience out there?
They just don't know. They're busy training.
You got a big audience, though.
Yes.
It's his alter ego. He plays a fucking...
It's just a character I do. It's very, very popular.
He's a fucking creep.
My fans want me to kill myself and Chip to live on.
Yeah, not me.
So, okay, the Mighty Mouse Ray Borg fight was incredible. And then, of course, the main event.
Yeah. And we'll go on to the undercard, because there was other fights
I
really enjoyed.
The
main event, let's talk about... First of all... Kevin Lee fighting with a staph infection that has to suck, but hey man,
how do you get a staph infection? Is it from the gym?
You can get it from the gym from somebody who had it.
Then how do they let someone fight you with a staph infection? Aren't you gonna get it?
Yeah, I think he better fucking pop some antibiotics today.
Yeah, he said he was trying to hide it pretty much all week from officials.
He was.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you gonna do? The show had to go on, and you know, I don't think anybody's gonna want that. I don't think Tony would have wanted the fight not happen because he might get fucking ringworm or something. Who cares?
Because he could just take something and get rid of it.
Who gives a shit?
But that does wear you down. They said it makes you very tired. It hurts.
And Kevin Lee did get tired. You know, he said it between
his weight cut too. He said that his weight cut was insane.
Was it 19 pounds?
Yeah, something like that.
And that might have been because of the staff. I mean, right? I mean, these things. But it's unfortunate though, because he was. See, Tony does take some shots in that first round in a lot of his fights, and then he just keeps. The momentum gradually shifts. like in other words, like, I mean, he gains momentum with as long as he weathers that first storm, which he usually he gets caught in. You know what I mean? Whether it's Venata,
yes,
or even RDA was lighting him up. Yeah. I remember that first round of RDA going,
that could have been
wow.
Over. Yeah,
I'm thinking, this keeps going. I don't know how Tony's going to be able to take all this. But then he takes it, and guys start to get tired. So you can't, I don't know, you could blame this on the staff. What's that?
He's awkward and funky.
He is awkward. I mean, like,
it has to be a pain in the ass to fight him because he'll get hit and he'll spin with it and like yeah. front rolls. He'll dive for your ankles. It's like, he's real funky, man.
Probably a hard guy to train for, too.
Yeah, really awkward. His punches come at weird angles and all that.
He was mounted for a little bit. There was definitely a couple minutes he was mounted. And Kevin Lee is a very good mount. And he was raining down shots. I don't know how much stuff got in clean. But that was the first round, and usually the guy who's been mounted is going to come out the next round a little bit more, you know, worse to wear. But it's not the case with Tony Ferguson. In all of his fights, guys get almost tired hitting him or trying to put him away.
Well, it's almost like Frankie Edgar, who at times have a bad early first round, or a lot of times look like he was he murdered in the first round, and then I wonder if it discourages guys to like I dumped everything on this guy. Against Lesnar.
That happened with Beneil Dariush, I think, a little bit. He had a great first round, and then Dunham came out, and he
easily
took it
to him.
Yeah.
Easily could have been a 10-8 right. round.
Did you ever see Tony Ferguson versus Edson Barboza?
Yeah.
That was probably like the best one-round fight I've ever seen. That fight was crazy.
That went one round?
I think so, yeah. That fight was insane. And that fight, the pace that they kept in that fight was crazy, man. That's the first time I really started doing research on like Tony Ferguson, because he just doesn't stop, man.
Think a fight with Tony Ferguson versus Conor McGregor would go?
Conor is good, in my opinion. Conor is really good, taking nothing away from Conor. All right. He's done some amazing things for the sport.
Yeah.
But he's very traditional, you know what I mean? Like, he fights a guy like Tony Ferguson that's not traditional, man. The things that he does is just I feel like it'll throw him off, man. It's just awkward. He does like weird stuff,
and you have to see how Tony holds up under, because what wilted Eddie Alvarez was the moment, the pressure of the moment. Eddie is a tough dude, and he just, I think Conor hit harder than he thought he was gonna hit, so you have to be prepared to get hit harder than you're expecting. But yeah, Tony I think is a different guy. And well, I think Tony's a different type of, I mean, he's talking shit to Verdum at event.
Tony, there's no doubt about it, he gives zero fucks.
You don't think he'd wilt under that?
What's that?
That pressure of like Conor coming after
no,
you?
No, the biggest thing with a fight like that, now styles make fights. Kevin Lee could have been stylistically a harder fight for Conor McGregor. It's weird because this is the way I look at it. Tony takes a lot of shots from guys that are very good. But, I mean, are they as accurate as Conor? Conor's fucking accurate as fuck. I mean, he's landing shots. He's very accurate. But is that going to be enough? If it does not, in a 5-round fight, if that does not put away Tony, look, man, look what happened with, Nate did take it off the couch that time, but in that first fight, you know, he punched himself out with Nate, and he got tied, Nate just, took him apart. And it happened in their second fight, too, where, he got back in it, but by that third round, he was really gassed. So in a 5-round fight, a lot would, in my opinion, a lot would be determined in that first round. If Tony gets out of that first round, you might be seeing exactly what we're seeing with him versus RDA, with him versus Kevin Lee, with him with a lot of his fights, is with Venata, is that he takes the punishment, he absorbs it, and then he ends up having his way. The only problem with a game like that is you don't know when it's going to be that day that your chin just ain't going to take it. I mean, you know what I mean? Because he does get fucking hit.
Yes.
It's not like he's getting glanced. You know what I mean? He's fucking blasted. Yeah. Like, banged up. But he just could take it. He's a nut.
And one thing, too, I wish they would do a little better with the camera work. This is totally off the subject. But after that fight, Kevin Lee was very emotional. And I love that. I'm a sucker for that. Like, I love that Tony Ferguson went over and hugged. I like that.
Yeah.
And then they're showing people cheering in the upper deck. Stop it. Whoever's directing that, show me the fighters. I don't need to see a bunch of fucking girls with shirts on going, that's not interesting.
Right?
I don't need to see that shit. Stop showing me a woman fucking waving. I don't want to see
the
fans.
Yeah, they're happy.
I don't care. I want to see Kevin Lee and I want to see Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
If he's breaking down, show me this fighter who's having an emotional reaction to a loss. Or show me Tony Ferguson and this guy having some... I love seeing the guys that genuinely hate each other having that moment together. Don't show me 30 cheering idiots in the upper deck. I don't want to see it.
I don't need that shit.
I don't need it.
Me neither, Jimmy.
Stupid. Yeah, they're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're watching the fight.
Give me a list of these fights that happened the other day.
Bug me.
Where are they? What do you got there?
Well, I was going to do a live read, but you go ahead. No, I'm just looking. I'm looking at our new sponsor, and I'm trying to figure out how to do it. Because a lot of times they want us to just throw our own.
Oh, go ahead.
What?
No, you were doing a sponsor read?
You're going to like this new sponsor, I think.
Oh, all right, let's talk about that then.
Yeah, let's do it quick.
Let me ask you. They're a new sponsor for UFC Unfiltered. And I know that Matt's going to like these guys, and I know that the listeners are going to like them too. Are you ready to save money and play more games?
Yes! Oh, I thought you were asking. Were you asking me?
I was.
Okay.
Let me introduce you to our new sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite video games. At Gamefly.com, you pick your favorite games, you have them mailed directly to your door. Now, Gamefly is the leading video game rental service, which is great because if you hate a game, you don't have to keep it. Over 9,000 titles to choose from. It lets you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. You can keep the games for as long as you want. You'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. So basically, there's zero disadvantages to joining this. Oh, and Gamefly now offers movie rentals too. Phenomenal. Oh. Go to Gamefly.com/UFC. Start your free premium 30-day trial today. The premium trial allows you to check out two games and or movies at a time. You can only get this offer by visiting Gamefly.com/UFC. Now sign up and start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days. Who doesn't like that? What, do you want to pay for it? I'd rather pay for it. No, you wouldn't, stupid.
Gamefly. Gamefly.
Figured you'd like them.
What?
Matt
like it.
Matt likes
it. Like it. You know that. You know what else I liked? Was Segway King.
It was very good.
Give me a high five.
Very good.
Mara Romero Barella. Italian chick. Oh, she was tough. She was tough.
The only fight I did.
Beautiful jiu-jitsu. What?
I didn't see it. I was on stage.
Fucking yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was her debut.
Apparently you,
it
was... apparently you taped my show.
What? This girl was tough. You know who she fought?
Yeah, Kalindra for Fajia.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. It was a great fight, actually.
And that was that her that was her debut also?
Both of them are making their debut, yeah. And that now, was at flyweight.
Let me ask you, and I should know, because was she speaking Portuguese? Or is she not the Brazilian girl, Mara?
No, she's speaking Italian.
Was she?
Yeah.
I should know that.
Yeah.
Okay. But she had the little Brazilian jiu-jitsu top team guy translating for her.
Yeah, but
was he speaking Italian too?
Yeah.
I'm Italian-American, by the way. Yeah. My wife speaks fluent Italian.
Does she?
I don't.
What? You guys weren't watching it together. But you could ask her. You have her watch.
No, but you know what? Okay.
So this is a flyweight fight now. So yeah. they're trying
so
to get
good.
This. That's 125?
Right.
It was jiu-jitsu 101. It was beautiful, man. What a night. Wait, let me look at this thing for a second. Besides Darush, right?
Darush.
Whoa, Darush. Besides that fight, every other fight was a submission, right?
On the main card, yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I'm getting excited about that.
Talis Lightest against Brad Tavares.
Let's talk about that.
That was a unanimous decision.
Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Brad Tavares, he did a great job of taking away Thales Lighty's, his takedowns.
Yeah.
And he basically just beat him up. Right? He just beat him up. Beautiful, though. I feel like Brad's been around for a while, man. But he got performance of the night also.
No,
that's true. I'm sorry. You wrote that above it.
Yes, Moraga.
But it was a great performance. It was just in a night of a lot of finishes. But Brad, he's like, I think he's right there. What is he ranked, Brad Tavares?
Let me check.
And who did he fight before this? Because I feel he's been around for a long time, man.
He just fought recently. Oh, it was Elias Teodoro. It was in July he fought. And
Elias?
He won that fight. Yeah.
What's his name? Is he ranked?
He's 16-4. I don't think he's ranked. No,
but he's.
I think he was.
He's
got to
be close.
Yeah. Tough dude, man. He's just. He's always been right there, like on the outside of that.
Yeah.
Of that, like that top 10. You got that guy's tough, tough dude. And then that Nick Lentz thing was canceled. What other fights?
Yeah, which is too bad because that was going to be a fun fight, but Nick had medical issues, I think, relating to his weight cut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How long did it take Kevin Lee to lose 19 pounds?
I mean, he was interviewed on
Thursday,
and he said, like, so it was like the early afternoon on Thursday. He cut 19 pounds.
And we have, you're fighting, Randy, you're fighting Mickey Gaultier Garden, which is just, I mean, everybody wanted to get on that card. Jose Aldo wanted to get on it. It's not an easy card to get on, so they must have some faith in both of you guys to put you on their card?
Yeah, I mean, he likes to talk, so, you know, I'm sure he's been talking up a storm, so they're going to probably, you know, give him whatever he wants because he's a big on that, you know.
Any additional pressure for you fighting on that card? I mean, it is.
Oh, none at all. This is huge for me. This is great for me. I fought in New York multiple times in my hometown. I'm chilling, man.
You know,
I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him. I'm just
proud of Mickey.
Yeah, man, I'm proud of him for getting the fight.
But let me ask you now. You trained with him before. Now this is what I find interesting. He let us he wasn't tapping and telling, or I don't know how it went down with the training, but he was actually surprised that you called him out because I feel that he felt that he had a good training session with you. What did you? You rolled with him, or you trained with him. I didn't get any further than that with him. But he was almost glowing thinking about it. Now, is there anything you felt?
He said that. He said, he bodied me up. He bodied me up.
Oh, okay. Did he say
that? And then all that.
I'm trying to make it easy.
You know. But, a fight is not jiu-jitsu. I'm not taking nothing away from the guy. You know what I mean? He has good jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? We're rolling. We're training. You know what I mean? Yeah. I tapped him. He tapped me. You know?
Okay.
It's grappling. It happens, you know?
Yeah.
But fighting, that's what I do. You know, and it's a whole different ball game when it comes to fighting, you know? And, you know, this is his first pro fight, you know? In my opinion, this is his first pro fight.
Because you're saying that the other four fights weren't.
No, this is his first fight against a UFC fighter, you know? And, you know, I'm happy for him, you know? And I'm proud of him. If he makes it to round two, I'll be very surprised. I'll be very proud of him in round two.
Mm-hmm. This is good that it's on the prelims. Like, it's a lot of people are going to see this fucking fight.
Is it a prelim or you know what I mean? One prelim?
It's on FS1.
That's what I'm saying. What I mean by that is more people actually see that than I believe the main card.
They use those to get you to the main card. I mean, they're all good fights. They're usually fights that are going to be very exciting to make people want to buy the main card. So they're fights that the UFC has faith in. This card is so... Yeah. I mean, people are probably sick of us saying it, but every time they put a card on, you're like, I can't think of a better card. This is...
Let's talk about
Bisping GSP is the main event, of course, for the middleweight championship. And then you have Cody Garbrandt against TJ Dillashaw. A phenomenal fight.
Want to talk about that one?
I do.
Talk about it.
Didn't they cancel already? They had canceled. They were supposed to fight, and Cody's back hurt, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And then, of course, they have Yuani and Jacek against Rose Nami Yunus. Finally, Rose is getting that shot. That fight's
going to be crazy.
That could easily be a co-main. And then Thompson against Jorge Masvidal. Another phenomenal fight.
Let's talk about that one, the last one. Thompson versus Masvidal. What is your take? Now, you're familiar with both guys. No, I do.
Yes, yes.
What's your take on that?
Well, I'm a bit partial to Masvidal. I really like him, actually.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm partial to Masvidal, so I'm going with Masvidal now.
Now, and any particular reason? What is it about his... Now, style-wise, what do you think of his... I mean, standing up, Stephen Thompson was an undefeated kickboxer.
Yeah, he's great.
And talk about a unique style.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, you know, it's all going to be, at the end of the day, whoever seizes the moment is going to capture that victory. And it's in the preparation. But Masvidal, he's kind of old school. He's been around for a while. He's got, he's another one who has, like, underrated a lot of areas, you know. And he did really good against Damian Maia, you know. He had his back taken, you know, Maia was able to control him.
Yeah.
But he's got really good striking and also good jiu-jitsu.
Style-wise, though, you couldn't think of a more of an opposite guy. He did good with Damian Maia, but I guarantee Stephen Thompson's not looking to fucking single leg him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's going to be long range.
Looking
to
put his foot in his face.
Yeah.
I feel like fights like that, though, I feel like sometimes it ends up like he's going to try to grapple him, like two strikers like that. Whichever one has better grappling is just going to out-grapple the other.
That's like BJ Penn, Matt Serra, kind of.
that was a good fight. I don't know, that was a good tag, you know? I thought I should have got the nine. That's just me. But I got the East Coast curse. But wait, now a lot, but I don't see Masvidal. Normally I would agree with one guy looking to do the takedown, but Masvidal is so ballsy standing up. Like, he didn't even give a shit about taking down like Cowboy. He was just like, I'm gonna stand up with you. You're talking about a guy that used to fight in like the underground circuit in Miami on the same card, like same cards, like it's a card, like in the same Kimbo, night, same day as Kimbo. Like, he just fight and I seen a couple of those fights, and he's just, and talk about game bread. Like, no pun intended, but he's very game. Like, even in those, he didn't give a fuck, man. Yeah. He likes to fight. It's that same thing when you I see in Tony Ferguson that El Kukui when he's doing that dance after he's getting hit and not fucking that guy, there's no place in the world he'd rather be than right there. And a lot that's something that you can't teach. And I see that in Game Bread also.
That's right.
But you're going with a guy on his feet. It's like it's just unlike the only other guy is like who like that is maybe Machida. I mean, I don't know how you're preparing for that style, that can like I mean, bringing karate guys, but still.
Well, it's like we talked about who were we talking about? Was it Lando Venata? Who were we talking about? That's hard to train for.
Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, so he's one of those guys that he's hard to find a guy who fights like he does to train for.
Too bad, fucking Khabib cannot get that weight under control or something. Because
is he still having issues with it? Is that what it was in this time, or was he still not healed? Because they said they offered him this fight, and he didn't take it, so they gave it to Kevin Lee.
Right. Well, Cormier said something at the end of the pay per view actually, where they were talking about potentially Khabib coming back and fighting Conor or Tony or whatever, and Cormier said that he had to have surgery. Like Khabib's, I don't know where he's at. Yeah.
There's no way they're giving Khabib Conor. If he can't prove that he can make that weight, there's no way they're chancing that Conor doesn't
fight. It's such a shame because when you see Khabib on top of these guys, now look at the success early on that Kevin Lee had grappling with Tony as far as getting him down, getting side control, getting mounted. Khabib in those situations, in those certain positions, I mean, that guy could rip your fucking arm off. Yeah. I mean, Khabib, I heard, is just insanely strong. And his grappling is amazing. His ground and pound is nasty as shit. And again, he's taking limbs. Like, you know, he's moving with a purpose down there. I mean, oh man, what a shame. I was so heartbroken when that fight didn't happen.
Me too. Day of, right? Oh, he just didn't show up for the, it was so bad. Then he was in the hospital. Like, oh, I thought the same thing didn't happen to Kevin Lee this time.
But with Tony, it is good that he's with Eddie Bravo because that type of body type, like that himself, Tony Ferguson, Ben Saunders, they get, you know, Eddie's like a master of the clinch game on the ground, like the high guard, rubber guard. So he's really good at tying guys up. So, I mean, Tony was, once it was in the guard, he looked very comfortable. You know what I mean? And a big mistake by Kevin Lee, and I know he's tired, and it happened to me before too. I think with Jeff Curran, I let him put the feet there too long. When you're on top of somebody, it's one thing when you're fresh and somebody's guard, but when you're in a guy who's dangerous on his back, you really don't want to settle in and try to beat the guy up from there. It's one thing if you got that unlimited gas tank and the timing of a Frankie Edgar smushing a Yair Rodriguez up against the cage.
Yeah.
But in a case like this, he was the guy who was more tired. He get the takedown, and he's allowing Tony to keep... He's got that so much forward pressure on top of Kevin Lee, but he was allowing Tony to get those feet in his hips more than once. So when he keeps those feet and hips, one, it relieves the pressure, and two, it sets him up for that arm lock that he almost got.
Was he keeping his arms out straight too much? Didn't they say that he was leaving his arms in bad position too?
I'm not sure if that was the Kevin Lee, I don't know what they were saying, but I remember watching it saying, this is bad news. I mean, look at Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva. You could have a lot of success beating up a guy down there, but the second you get a little bit, you slow down a little bit, you're in one wrong move. That guy's locking up a fucking triangle. Like Anderson Silva did with Chael Sonnen, like Tony Ferguson did the other night versus Kevin Lee. And once that thing got set in, I'm like, oh, this is... Unlike the arm lock, which was tight, there was some move... There was a little couple of technical things where he was... when he went for that, and I believe he went for an omoplata, where he wasn't checking Kevin Lee's lower body. So it allowed Kevin Lee, even though the arm was in jeopardy, he was still able to... bring his knee across and get out of it in a side control. Does that make sense to you? You know what the fuck I'm talking about, Nardu and Randy. Because you have to check that when you go for omoplatas and whatnot. Right. Like, in other words, if I'm attacking somebody's left arm, they're going to try to step over my body towards that arm. You understand what I'm saying? And then they'll be across my side, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But anyway, if he stopped that, he would have got on top and whatnot. But listen, I'm not shitting on his game. Tony did fucking great down there. And it was Kevin's bad. And I used to do this a lot in sparring, and I did this a lot in certain fights, Ivan Medjavov, Jeff Curran. When you put a lot of pressure on and I wait for guys to put a foot in the hip, and then I kick back like a mule and I get back and pass their knee line in half guard. So you put so much forward pressure, you wait for those feet in the hips. So they're trying to relieve it. As soon as they try to relieve it, you kick back your leg like a mule, and next thing you know, I just got the half guard without my energy bar taking any bit of a hit. You understand what I'm saying? So... I don't know. I'm just going over some. I'm reliving some glory days.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm talking some technique. It's a fucking MMA show.
Yes.
You gotta go to the bathroom or something?
No. Okay. Very relaxed.
All right. Let's talk about some other fights. All right, so that's the Gamebred versus Stephen Thompson fight. All right. What about the champ Joanna versus Thug Rose?
Here's the thing with Joanna. She seems to get up. She's really hard to keep down on the ground. Like, you put her down, you waste a lot of energy putting her down, and she's up. She seems like one of the most frustrating people to try to take down.
Extremely hard to hold down. Nardu. You ever see her?
Yeah.
Girls trying to hold her down?
Yeah, absolutely.
But Thug Rose does not have to keep her down. She has to time her as she's getting up. She's very good. She's done this in prior fights of taking that back. Mm-hmm. She could take that back. And if she takes that back, all she has to do is get her to all fours. And the second that back's exposed, she's got the ability to take it. She's got one of the nastiest back takes in all of MMA, in the UFC. She's that good. Yeah. She's on that back. And when she's on, her jiu-jitsu's money. So that's what I'm really interested. Like, I believe standing up, obviously, Joanna has a big advantage.
I think she has an advantage over almost everybody.
You think a huge advantage?
In my opinion, my personal opinion, she has some of the best striking in the UFC.
Period. Yeah, it's nasty.
Like, period. Men, women. Period.
And it's completely varied and completely unpredictable. You know, it's a left hook followed up by a right kick, followed up by a knee. She's nonstop. She never gets tired, and she throws everything.
The thing is, she fights. A lot of takedowns occur, in my opinion, again, right?
Yeah.
A lot of takedowns occur when guys are coming forward and guys duck under and take them down, or they push them against the cage. They can't stop her. You know what I mean? Because she fights going backwards, so she's not overextending so you could dip underneath her. Her footwork is crazy, so you're not pinning her on the cage. Yeah. You know, so you just, girls are just getting the ass beat.
Yeah, she seems really good on the cage too. It's just planting her knees in your stomach until you're tired of it.
And I know it's a different girl and with different skill set, but if you look at Thug Rose versus Karate Hottie, she laid into her standing up before she got her hands on her. Like, she's committing to her strikes. And you know what? Just like you with Mickey Gall, you were saying, hey man, it's not a jiu-jitsu match. This ain't a Thai boxing match. I mean, she could lay into her, time Joanna coming back to get underneath, to get her down, to get her back. I mean, that's what's exciting about this fight. You know what I mean? Because it's all how you put it together. And even though she might be outmatched standing up, Thug Rose puts this shit together excellent and better than ever. I mean, we're talking about a girl with experience, and she fits her nickname, man. She don't give a shit. You know what I mean? She's coming to fight. Another girl that loves the game. So
did you guys see the stare down they had at the press conference?
I did not see that.
It's great.
Yeah, please, dude. Did Joanna get under? I love Joanna's stare down. She kind of like, she does that weird alien thing where she like gets under you and stares up.
You know what's interesting about Thug Rose too is people like her for her fighting, and she's an interesting character.
She's a fun person.
But she doesn't play up. Like, she could like grow her hair out, and she's such a good looking girl that she could try to get different sponsors different ways with all that. She don't care. She keeps it.
She should be getting sponsors anyway the way she is.
Yeah, listen. I think she shouldn't change at all.
Plus, she doesn't want...
She's a straight up savage.
She is.
She's great, man.
But she probably doesn't want guys hitting on her because the Pat Barry's there and she doesn't want to get guys killed. Like, the first time I saw her, I'm like, hey, who's the cute girl? Maybe I'll... And I'm, thank God I thought better of it.
Pat Barry starts twitching next to you. Look at this.
Roger's deadpans her.
But Joanna is great because she definitely has that. Like, she has like her and Claudia with the shit talking on that tough show.
Yeah,
was fucking excellent.
These two are gonna be fun, I think.
But look at Thug Rose, man. She don't care. But Joanna is so confident.
She is.
I love seeing that.
Rose looks very.
What I love about this is that you got two characters right there. Like, they're very entertaining.
Yes.
Both in the cage, and I love both their personalities.
Yeah,
they're both unique. Joanna is so great. She's such a cool person.
Number one.
She's so great, man. And she has such a good energy about her.
What's her record? She's 14-0. She's undefeated. I know Rose has lost, which again, I always think undefeated can put a weird extra pressure on somebody.
I really like both those girls, and watching them fight, I'm a big fan.
Oh, sorry. You're waiting.
What the fuck?
You're waiting on me. I'm looking at. Yeah, she's 14-0.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's talk about really quick. Yeah, not really quick. Take our time.
Sure.
Cody Garbrandt, the champ. Versus TJ Dillashaw. Let's talk about that. Who's starting this one off?
TJ's another guy seems very hard to... Again, we've compared him to Dominic Cruz. Another guy that seems very difficult to train for because of the way he moves and the way he punches. Not a traditional fighter. I don't know. Who do I pick in that fight? I don't know. I would pick TJ just because he seems like he's fought better guys longer, but I mean, after what Cody did to Dominic Cruz, it's kind of hard to choose against Cody. So I basically just said nothing. I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think? I don't know, man.
This is a hard one.
I'm leaning with Cody because I'm partial to the boxing. He has great boxing. Yeah. You know, Dillashaw has good footwork, good movement as well. But they both have great wrestling, so they could cancel each other out. And I see it being a crazy war on the feet, man.
Yeah, I guess I will lean towards Cody, but I wouldn't be surprised either way. Yeah.
Right. Well, and they know each other so well.
Yeah, and they don't like, and it's legitimately don't like each other.
I mean, we talk about like Mickey and Randy having like one training session or whatever it is. These guys have many training sessions. That's why I find it. Just like I asked how I found that interesting when you guys drove, whatever, trained together. Why are you guys both so confident? But with this one, why are they both so confident? They both feel like they know each other in and out. I mean, it doesn't mean they're the same guy. I mean, it's been a little bit of time since they probably sparred, but I'm sure they sparred, you know, many, many times.
Sometimes one person can say, all right, this day, this happened. Yeah. Another day, this happened. You know, so one day it might have been in the favor of this guy. The other day it might have been in the favor of that guy. But each guy's like, oh, well, on this day, maybe such and such, you know, and that guy's same thing. Oh, on this day, such and such was going on with me.
Yeah.
You know, so they're both like, you know what? I could beat this guy.
And they're both champions. I mean, right, you know, they both won the championship. I mean, he lost to Cruz. It was a decision, I think.
It was close, though.
He had a really good fight. And Cody, it was a very close fight that he won. So you kind of look at that. Who did TJ beat for the championship? It wasn't Uriah.
Hennenborough,
okay.
He beat him up.
I beat him twice, right?
Yeah,
he beat him in the rematch, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We were there for that, I believe.
Were we? My memory stinks, but I'm getting old.
Were we there for that?
He was like faking shots and
was that the one when there was the ferocious. Was that the UFC 200 that he fought in?
We were at 200. That was in Vegas.
No, TJ fought at 200, but it wasn't against Brad.
Well, how did he fight? Now it's gonna bother me.
Yeah, look it up.
All right, who did he
fight? It's gonna bother me. I tell you.
Are you sure was he champion when he fought?
No, he wasn't the champion when we saw him. No.
All right,
he fought this little muscular. He didn't fight
Barao at UFC 200.
Oh, it was Rafael Sensau.
It was Rafael Sensau he fought. Yeah. All right. Fuck's the matter with me? Nardu, who did you take in that? I didn't ask you.
Well, you know, I like Cody a lot.
You do like Cody?
Yeah, I like his movement. It's very sharp, very crisp. Again, he who seizes the moment seizes the victory.
That's a rough one for me too.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, Cody's got to be flying high with his confidence.
Also
right
undefeated.
Now. Yeah. I don't know. I'm usually good too at this. I might be leaning towards Cody only because of how great he looked versus Dominic.
Yeah.
But again, that one's
he was taunting Dominic, which is really weird to see a guy do that because Dominic Cruz is so good at getting in somebody's head, and he's so good at frustrating other fighters. And Cody did that to him, and that's not an easy thing to do. TJ couldn't even do that to Dominic.
Style wise, and plus plus the drama from the back, that's going to be a fun one to watch.
I can't wait for that one.
This is what I want to ask because this one, the people have different takes on this. Most people are thinking that, I'm talking about the main event, sure. Michael Bisping, the champ, versus George St. Pierre coming back after a huge layoff. A lot of people are believing that Michael Bisping's just too big for him.
Yes.
What do you guys think? How do you think this is going to go? Let's start with Randy Brown.
Randy, comment.
I mean, we already spoke about this before you guys came in. We had a whole conversation.
Yeah, Chris does that all
the time. Chris fucking ruins the whole fucking. You talked about it already, Chris.
Okay. I'm going with Bisping. I'm gonna go with Bisping.
You're gonna go with Bisping now. I mean?
Because
tell me,
that's a long layoff, man. GSP, how long has he been out? He's been out for a minute, you know. Mm-hmm. And Bisping has some underrated stand up. You know, a lot. Yeah. He's been chopping people up for a long time, man. Like, what's the dude, Kung Lee? You know, when Kung Lee was in his prime, kicking people's faces off. You know, what's the other dude? Jorge Rivera. You know, old school dudes. You know, he's been in it, man. He's been doing this. But GSP too, you know. Yeah. But Bisping never stopped. You know what I mean? He was still in there, still fighting top competition. Dudes like Luke Rockhold, you know what I mean?
Fuck.
You know, so...
Oh, is there life of both those fights, Bisping versus Rockhold?
Yeah, but GSP, I mean, has he faced anybody, has he had anybody on the ground as solid as GSP, if GSP can
take it? No, look at GSP's last fights before he went out, man. You know, those were shaky, you know what I mean? Those were shaky, Carlos Condit, you know.
He arguably lost the Hendricks fight.
Yeah, man.
I remember thinking he did. I don't remember the fight specifically, but I remember being annoyed for
I just rewatched it recently, actually, and I was like, Hendricks probably.
Hendricks did beat him, yeah, I thought so. I thought Hendricks got fucked on a couple of decisions.
I thought it came down to the fifth round, but I might be biased. Would it be the last guy to beat
him? Well, I think that's true.
Fucking
about that.
Prick. I am.
I'm going to say Bisping by TKO, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Early. I don't think GSP gets past the second round with Bisping, and only because he's had such a long layoff and he's fighting a heavier guy than he's used to.
Sensei Nardu, talk to me.
Well, I think that, I don't think a fight really is what you want it to be, but is what it is.
You fucking fortune cookie. Explain. I'm ready for it. I know Nardu. I know it's never going to be like, oh, Bisping. It's going to be like a finger pointing to the fucking moon with him.
That's right. You're going to miss all the heavenly glory.
Yes! Bruce Lee.
So who do you think?
Yeah, so let's put it this way. It's all in the preparation. I do understand the fact that GSP has been out for quite some time. And the big question mark is, what has he been doing? Has he been out not doing anything, or has he been out still sparring weekly, still training weekly? I think it would have been great if he had another fight first before this one. But to just go right in... Yeah, to just go right in. You know, a lot of odds are stacked against him. But, you know, as a fighter, sometimes as a warrior... Sometimes people perform best under that pressure. So, you know, it's up to sometimes when things are against you and everybody's against you,
yeah.
You know, sometimes that kind of makes you fight better too. And I think one thing, the biggest mistake in all of fighting is underestimation. And if you listen to the guy, what's it?
Bisping?
Just the main event of the last event that we just saw. He said he underestimated his groundwork.
He
used that word a lot of times. Say, I underestimated his ground. I didn't expect that, you know. And I think Bisping just has to be careful also not to underestimate GSP as well.
Plus, he's only getting this fight because the Woodley fight was so boring that Dana was like, fuck you, I'm giving this to Bisping. He should probably be fighting at welterweight. If Woodley Maya was a better fighter, a more exciting fight, he'd probably be fighting for the welterweight title. I mean, this is a 15-pound jump.
George wanted this fight.
It's huge.
He did. Maybe he doesn't want to go through the weight cut. I mean, that's possibly it, too.
But he's also got to adjust to having that extra weight on now, which he's not used to fighting at that
right.
size.
Now, you got to understand, he's a master of closing that distance. He has a very good jab. The thing with George, and I pointed it, this is what I've said before, and listen, he's fighting a bigger guy, granted, you know, but he's also... when he was over at Jackson's, I know at TriStar, he's always sparred with heavier dudes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and he's had a lot of success from what I've heard as far as with the feet, the floor, or what he wants to call the shoot box, whatever you know what I mean? In other words, when they're sparring, they're not just kickbox sparring, they're doing everything. And he does it really well with getting these guys down. Now, you look at where Michael Bisping has a couple of losses, and I point this out, where he lost to Chael Sonnen. Arguably, because it was a close fight, but he also lost to at a heavier weight class. He lost to Rashad Evans back in the day, and he lost to both those guys by being out grappled. He did not get beat up at all because he's very good at. He's almost like Joanna in a sense that he's very hard to hold down. Bisping's very hard to hold down, but he did get back up to get taken down again. And even though he walked out of there pretty much clean. I don't think he got messed up at all in those fights. He did lose rounds. So George does approach a fight not as a whole five rounds. He approaches it as five different fights. So he's like, yo, he could outpoint him by getting him down, they get back up, getting him down. Look at his fight with Thiago Alves.
Tactical. You know? Tactical.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's how he fights. Well, of course, that's how he fights. He's not going to... He learned his lesson with fucking that standing and training. I'm only kidding, motherfuckers. But what a prick.
That was a bad move by him.
Yeah. But... Yeah. He knows how to mix it up, and he's so good at closing the distance. He's great at getting guys down up against the cage. Is Michael Bisping too big, and will that make a big difference? I don't know. So, I mean, it's very exciting for me.
What do you think, Matt? What do you think, Wayne?
George is not going to take this fight if he thinks he's losing at all, if that makes sense. In other words, and I love George.
Well,
but
who does?
What?
Who does? You know, you take a fight. You're never going to take a fight that you think that you're going to lose.
No, that's not. Well, we're saying that. You're saying that. George, he might not have that same outlook. Is George? If Yoel Romero is holding that belt right now, is George going to look for that fight? I don't think so. And I'm not attacking George. Styles make fights. He sees something, an opportunity in this. And John Danner is in his ear also. So John, that you know, John Danner is a fucking genius, and he sees something there too. So they're seeing style-wise, they're thinking this is a good fight for them. They will not be challenging this if it's a different fighter. No disrespect to Bisping. I love Bisping. I think Bisping is one of my favorite guys to watch.
But you think Romero would present a tougher fight for him and he might not want to take it? Although the money's got to be really great with this.
I don't know if he's getting Romero down.
Yeah.
I mean, if he is, it's going to be... I mean, listen. I mean, he's got to get Bisping down too. But those couple of fights I'm pointing out, believe me, that fucking Danaher watched that shit. Yeah, the guy, he's not... What's that guy doing? He's doing creepy shit at night and fucking watching jiu-jitsu videos. No, I do. Go ahead. You'll be allowed to train there. You can chime in. Huh? That fucking creep with those rash guards, huh? I'm only kidding. He's a friend of mine. No, I do. Stop. No, I do. Put me up to that, everybody.
Right. And by the way, GSP has said the next loss is it. He's going to retire after his next loss. So he's not going to go into this fight.
Sure.
You know.
This Stacy something. I don't know. I'm pointing out what I'm thinking, what I'm seeing, and that's why I think that George has a way better chance than people are saying. But Bisping is not that type of guy to be like, you know, I'm bigger. I'll just want. He trains. He's super professional. He's a workhorse. Another dude that loves to fight. I believe that he'll fight him right in the parking lot. He don't give a fuck. He's that guy. He's an animal. He is. And he's a character. He can make stuff mad awkward. Did I say mad awkward? I've been hanging out with Pete Drago's cell a lot.
You can't help yourself.
You're young. It's like when Randy Brown said, you know, he hasn't fought in a minute. I was going to go, Jimmy, that means a long time. Yeah. Jimmy goes, wow, a minute?
Oh, I knew what that means.
Okay. Please. That's the way kids talk nowadays.
I'm very young at heart.
Me too.
I only date younger women, so I learn all this lingo.
Yeah?
I won't fuck any woman who's ever owned a cassette.
That's different. I'm not that way, though. But I'm married. Happily. But if I was single, I'd be like, happily married. I'd be going for all mature, all cougars. But I'm not soccer moms. But I'm not into that shit. I'm married, man.
Absolutely.
Let's change the subject.
All right, I guess we're, I mean.
All right, we're done pretty much. Let's promote some stuff.
I want to promote Randy Brown against Mickey Gall. I know this is going to be a really good fight.
And I'm looking forward. I was looking forward when Randy brought this shit up.
Yeah.
And I forgot about that. But where was that you brought that up?
Ring of Combat.
It was.
And then I spammed Dana about it, too.
Did you?
He acts like he doesn't remember, but he knows.
Oh, speaking of spamming stuff and putting stuff out there, I should put this out there because Jimmy trolled me with the whole Tony Ferguson thing, you guys saw that? You seen when he trolled me with that?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That
was
that
hilarious.
Thing took a life of its own. That thing, that went viral, I would say, no? And Tony said something nice. Can you hand me my phone? You have it on your phone.
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Go ahead. I sent that to you guys because I'm not on Twitter. I got off Twitter because I don't get my... It's not that I don't have thick skin, nor do, but I want to smack people a lot of times. And I don't like negativity brought into my life. I'm a very happy guy. So somebody sent this to me through Instagram that Tony Ferguson put this out. Go ahead, read that.
Yeah, he tweeted you. He said, to clear things up, Matt Serra, UFC. That wasn't me on the other line during the interview. Big fans, Coach Serra. And then, a bunch of
emojis.
And
then he did some nice emojis. Yeah. You know why I like that, Jimmy? Because you did such a good job of trolling me that even though I know it wasn't him, I still somehow was thinking it was him. Like, in other words, you know, because I'd be like, that fucking Tony, he was fucking being rude to me. And he wasn't being rude to me.
He wasn't. He's lovely.
He wasn't. He's a great. But I remember being in the moment in the interview with the next question. And Jimmy knows not to go past that point of just being a total dick where I'd blow up. So he got me in a fucking race car in the red. And I was doing my best to keep everything together. And then he fucking, it was great that you filmed the reaction, Jimmy.
Yeah, it was very
funny. But anyway, so then it wasn't Tony. And and you know this because you can listen to prior shows. I'm a fucking fan of the guy's fighting. I love watching it.
Matt couldn't wait to talk and ask El Kukui questions.
What's this? And when you started shitting on my El Kukui questions, fuck you, Jim.
I told you Ellen would ask that, yeah.
Jim.
But I was... look, Tony was 3 times supposed to come on, didn't, so I was bummed out, very bummed out. But look,
pass.
He's great.
What's up, Nardo?
I tell you what, though, after I heard him speak, after the post fight interview, after it was all done at the media, he spoke like a champion, man. He spoke.
What was he saying?
Yeah, he just
tell us.
He gave a lot of respect to his opponent, you know, his abilities. He spoke like a martial artist, you know, and I was like, wait, no way this could have been the guy calling you that day. It's impossible.
Although he did call Conor a fucking piece of shit. He did say, come out and fight me, you fucking piece of shit.
Well, you know, that's the, you know, well, you know what it is? When you fight, you know, you gotta wear different caps. Yeah. You know, that's the money cap.
That's
you
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the money cap, there's the family cap, you know, there's the training cap, you know, there's the media cap. So he put the money cap on.
But what I like about the money cap or whatever it was, it was him though. It's not like he was trying to do some kind of fancy fucking nursery rhyme. He's like, all right, McNugget, whatever the fuck that is.
He's been calling him McNuggets for years.
Right? Yeah. It's okay.
Fight me, you fucking piece of shit.
Listen, that might not make a lot of promos, but that was fucking great. Listen, think about Nate Diaz. And it doesn't mean, and again, it has to be organic. It doesn't mean, I don't want everybody to go on there and just start saying, you know, fuck this, fuck that, or whatever. But when Nate was on there, that was on Fox.
Yeah.
You know the real fucking fight, like when he first called him out, and instantly, when something happened where RDA got hurt and they put Nate in,
yeah.
I remember talking to Dana, texting him, I go, dude, this is a better fight. This is a fight that makes me more excited. Just for the fact, style-wise, one thing, but just the fact that they're both fucking characters. Now more than ever, I'd want to see Tony Ferguson versus Conor.
You want a guy who can mentally deal with Conor. And that was Nate's, besides being a great fighter, Nate, that's really, he doesn't give a fuck. He's not intimidated. He doesn't care. Conor doesn't make him feel bad about himself or scared. And I think Tony Ferguson would have that same ability to. And there's certain guys that do and certain guys that don't. Like Chael fucking fucked with Anderson Silva's head. He got in his head so badly. I mean, he really fucked with his head.
He was saying some nasty shit, though.
He was, but I mean, he wasn't. He didn't have the ability to fight that. Like, Mayweather didn't give a shit. Mayweather's a guy who Conor mauled verbally, but Mayweather's...
Chael's one was funny, though, with some stuff. He'd be like, tell her medium rare about making a steak. I thought he was great.
Dude, he gets you so mad, you want to strangle him to death. Medium rare.
After all that, I felt like Anderson got him back when he beat him and then he invited him to come over for a barbecue or whatever.
Yes, he got him good.
Yeah.
And those guys are probably...
The best clapback, I think, was, what's his name? Little Heathen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was, dude.
You were out that week. Jimmy.
I was out, yes. Yeah. What happened?
Explain it, Randy.
He took a picture with, all right, so you know who the fuck is that guy? You remember that?
Sure,
right?
Amazing. Jeremy Stevens and Connor.
Yeah.
So he waited. How long has it been?
It was almost exactly a year.
And what'd he say?
And then he took a picture with the dude's mom, all right, with Connor's mom. And yeah. Posted it and the caption was, your mom knows who the fuck.
that was everybody listen, when you draw swords, man, it is what it is. He got him good, and he was the you know, the people tortured Jeremy Stevens over that when he got him with the who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that
so
guy?
look at the picture.
Your mom knows who to fook.
Look how close he is. That's fucking... Jimmy loves it.
Very funny.
That's great. Oh, that's a 10-8 round right there.
Yeah.
When is Dominic fighting Rivera?
December 30th.
Holy fuck, do I want to see that fight.
Yeah.
Where is that? Vegas, I guess, right? Oh, last fight of the year.
Yeah.
Ooh, that can be good. All right, thank you guys so much. Thank you for coming in. It was really, really nice to have you in here and to meet you, and good luck in your fight. With Mickey.
On a hell of a card.
Amazing
man.
Card. It's a great place for both of you
and
guys.
And like I said, it's a great fight. I'm really looking forward to that fight.
Yes.
Yeah, man. You know? It should be really good. It's definitely going to be really good, you know.
And then whoever wins gets to claim to be the king of Dana White looking for a
fight. He can keep that title.
What are you talking about? It's a great show. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little defensive.
You are. It took that hit me that.
Sorry. Does that, we can cut that out, right, guys?
Yeah.
No, I do. Good catching up, man.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we're not done. We're going to talk after this. All right. Hello, Chris, the producer.
Hey.
Good to see you, buddy.
You too, man.
All right. You had a cold Pepsi for me today, so you're on my good side.
All right. Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun, and we'll see you in 2 days. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.